This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and we're going to get majorly offensive here right out of the gates. We're going to talk about race and crime and schools and all kinds of good things just right out of the gates tonight. We have my buddy Kurt Schlichter. He is hopeful about where we're going. Why in the world? How could someone be hopeful? We'll talk to him about an hour and a half from now about that. We'll talk about more about the climate change insanity, the Biden people lying. We have a mayor getting her just desserts. But first, let's talk about, well, who's my least favorite politician in America? If you've listened to my show for any length of time, you will know that my least favorite politician in the United States of America by a mile, Bill de Blasio. I will hate Bill de Blasio until the day I die. I know that's not appropriate. That's not a very kind Christian level of hate, that kind of resentment. But Bill de Blasio, whose parents were actually full-blown Sandinista terrorists, a lot of people don't know this, communist terrorists. He himself is a communist terrorist, so is his wife. And Bill de Blasio ruined my favorite place in the United States of America. Bill de Blasio ruined New York City. You understand, if you've listened at all, that I love New York. I'm not a city guy, but I'm not anti-city. I know that's very popular on the right. Oh, the cities suck. I love the country. I love the city. I love it all. I find joy in all of it. For me, for so much of my adult life, from the first time I flew in there, I have just fallen in love with the place. I love that it's wild and loud and smelly and old. I love that there's food, great food everywhere. I love that I can be in Little Italy. I can be in Chinatown. I love every part of it. And that piece of trash stepped in as New York mayor, and he wrecked the place. Crime through the roof. He took a bunch of, you know, we'll get to this in a minute. He took a bunch of kids that shouldn't have been there and threw them in the better schools. And then COVID hit and he just remade New York City into a living hell. Remember, New York City brought back segregation during coronavirus. Have you fully wrapped your mind around that? That we actually had signs posted that said unvaccinated cannot dine in. Oh, you unvaccinated, you've got separate areas. And he did all this while being the most unlikable, detestable oaf in the history of mankind, and actually ran for president for about 15 minutes. Michael brings up his real name's Warren Wilhelm. It's funny how people forget about that. He's now Bill de Blasio. But anyway, I bring this up at the start of the show because he decided he didn't want to be done with politics after he was done being mayor. He wanted to keep running. Well, Bill de Blasio didn't fully realize then, maybe he does now, that everyone hates his guts. And so please enjoy this Bill de Blasio, I guess no one likes me video.
And even though this is not going to work out,
I hope you know how much I appreciate you. And we're going to do a lot together to make this city better in the future.
Pause one second. A couple things. Sorry, I might have to interrupt this a couple times. He doesn't appreciate you. That was a lie. He hates your guts and he resents you for rejecting him. And he's not going to do any more good for anybody because he's never done any good for anybody. Anyway.
So I'm feeling a lot of gratitude. I'm also recognizing I made mistakes. I want to do better in the future. I want to learn from those mistakes.
He doesn't want to learn from those mistakes. None of our politicians do. That's actually going to be a central theme on tonight's show. He doesn't think he made mistakes. He's not going to learn from the mistakes. They always think you're the mistake. You're the problem. You hear politicians talk about this all the time. When you screwed this up or screwed that up, it's always, well, we haven't been clear on our messaging. What are they saying there? We haven't been clear on the messaging. They're saying, well, I haven't done anything wrong. You idiots just don't understand what I'm doing.
And it's been a humbling experience at times, but it's been a healthy experience. And the bottom line is, I'm filled with gratitude today, truly, for all the good in New York City. I feel New York City in my heart and soul. I really do. And I'm just appreciative.
Bye, Bill. Bye, Bill. Goodbye. Don't come back, you piece of trash. Now, let's talk about other things. Yeah, I'll get to all kinds of Biden stuff and Dome. And I may actually take calls tonight because that would be fun. I mean, tomorrow is my birthday. Not that I'm going to bring it up. But if you wanted to let me know what you love most about me as a birthday present, that would be something. But anyway, setting all that stuff aside. Major crime skyrockets 37% in New York City. That's one. Two. This is out of San Francisco. Astounding numbers just dropped from San Francisco Board of Education. These are the ready for high school and chronically absent numbers. And I want to give credit to Michelle Tandler for this. You ready for this? Because it's broken down by race. Chronically absent. White people, 19.5. Asians, 8.4. Black people, 63.4. Let's go down to graduation. Well, this is chronically absent and ready for high school. I'm sorry. Let's get out of ready for high school. 47% of white people are ready for high school. 71% of Asians are ready for high school. 15% of black people ready for high school. Let's just stick with those two because otherwise you get into too many numbers. That horrible crime statistics that really would apply to anywhere. What's this all about? What's happening? Well, we exist right now. You exist and I exist. We exist in a country where we're not just post-truth. I've heard people call this, I've probably called it this, a post-truth society. Post, that's not a word. We're a post-truth society. It's not that. It's not that we're post-truth. We are actually anti-truth. We never, absolutely ever have the conversation we should be having about anything, ever. We are a society that is so anti-truth, we will not only run away from it, we will censor truth out, we will tell truth to shut up, we will do whatever we can do to avoid having any kind of a conversation that makes us uncomfortable. Do you ever talk to somebody, or maybe you yourself have struggled with your weight, alcohol, just any of the various struggles people had? You ever have any of these, or talk to anyone who struggled with that, or you struggle with somebody in your life with it? You ever have any of that? What's the hardest thing? What's the hardest step always? Let's call it an alcoholic. What's the hardest step when it comes to an alcoholic? What is it? You've heard the saying 1,000 times. What's the hardest step? Admitting you have a problem. That sounds very weird to someone who's never dealt with it, but let me tell you, when you start dealing with the problem, let's say it's your wife, your husband, whoever, as you start dealing with the problem, this is how it goes every single time. You talk to anyone in these rehab centers, they'll tell you this is how it goes every single time. I don't have a problem. You have a problem. You've been distant. Oh, I haven't. I did not. My boss has been stressful. The kids were. Oh, I didn't. It's oftentimes it feels impossible to get the person who's screwing everything up to admit they're the one who's screwing everything up. It's human nature. That has been expanded on to now it is a national thing in the United States of America. No matter what the subject is, and we're going to talk about education and crime and race and all kinds of things here in a second, but no matter what the subject is, without fail, whatever the talking point on the subject is at the moment in the country, it's probably the last thing we should be discussing. It's probably the least important thing out there. Are you ready to have an offensive, difficult conversation about where we are, about race, about schools, about crime, about everything else? Good, because we're going to. Before we get to difficult conversations, let's have a good conversation. How about a do-good conversation? Imagine, I want you to imagine this real quick. Imagine there's a community of homes. Let's say about 110 homes. But this community was actually built for a specific purpose. This community's purpose was this. They are going to take widows and orphans of Gold Star families, first responder families. They're going to welcome them into this community. I'm talking pools, houses, everything, so they can come together, heal together, get past that pain together, and go on to have wonderful lives. That's not some fantasy. That's reality. That's what Tunnel to Towers is doing right now in Lando Lakes, Florida. Go to T2T.org and sign up to give $11 a month. T2T.org. 11 bucks a month is nothing. That's what they're doing. T2T.org.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, and it's going to be a blast of a Tuesday. This is the last day I'll ever be 40. Isn't that wild? Birthday's tomorrow, but I'm not going to be immature and bring it up on the show. What, Chris? No, I'm not over the hill, Chris. And you know what? Yes, I am over the hill. What's the worst part of the hill? Climbing up. Going down's the best part, Chris. My best years are ahead of me. It's not like my knee's been injured for 3 days because I banged it on the coffee table. Everything's fine, Chris. Everything's fine here. All right. Let's go back here. This is New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
We are hemorrhaging Black families in this city. That's the largest population that we're losing in the city because the city is no longer affordable to them.
Okay. Eric Adams also had this to say. Just sit back and listen to this.
Here's what's happening with the Department of Education. We have a massive hemorrhaging of students. Massive hemorrhaging. We're in a very dangerous place in a number of students that we are dropping.
Back to the numbers we were just reading here. Chronically absent. 8%, 8.4% of Asian students chronically absent. 63.4% of African American students. Why am I bringing this up? What does this have to do with anything? This has to do with everything. It has to do with our commitment to running from the truth in this country. You see, and I warned, and you longtime listeners of the show will remember, I warned, I came on the air and said this. St. George Floyd died in Minneapolis. Everyone remembers it. Then the communist feral animals in this country, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, took to the streets and began torching, putting America's cities to the torch. But it went way beyond that. Let's set aside burning NYPD cop cars. Let's set that aside for a moment. Culturally, outside of the cities, outside of everything, culturally, what happened in this country for a year, almost a year? We had a nationwide hyper-focus on race in America. But, and this is a big, big old but, what was that conversation about? What was it about? I remember Aunt Jemima changing its logo. I remember Lando Lakes Butter actually removing the Indian woman off the box of butter. I remember more absurd things being done than you can possibly count. I remember professional sports being taken away from me for the rest of my life because I watched a bunch of 22-year-old professional athletes with the IQ of the football they throw around on Sunday act like they thought America was racist, even though they're millionaires for playing a professional sport. I watched America blame the cops for the problem in the urban black community. Definitely the cops. I mean, for sure. Didn't you see there was a bad video? I mean, we had some drugged out guy while in the process of committing crimes. We had him under some cop's knee in Minneapolis. Clearly all of America is racist. I watched America devolve into a pointing fingers anti-white culture. For about a year, we decided we were going to talk race in this country, and we didn't discuss one single solitary thing that would actually solve anything. And in case maybe you're sitting there mad at me, maybe you're saying, Jesse, yes, we did. Jesse, you're racist. Jesse, you're wrong. Really? Major crime skyrockets 37% in New York City. Grand larceny, 49%. Robbery up 39.2%. Felonious assault, 18.6%. Rapes saw an 11%. On and on and on it goes. I don't need to prove anything to you or anyone else. We had a nationwide conversation about race, which was all about how white people suck and America sucks and the cops sucked. And what is the end result of that conversation? The end result is black people are dying in droves in the cities. The education system is even worse for them. If they can, if they're financially able to, they're fleeing the cities. So what went wrong? Well, what went wrong is everybody wanted to have a nice conversation, a comfortable conversation, a conversation that makes you feel good and me feel good. And yes, it's definitely those big, meany cops. Well, those cops are so mean and racist. And no one wants to have the conversation about, where's dad? Where's your father at? These numbers don't lie. What happened in New York City's gifted schools? They were destroyed. Well, what happened? They had these gifted schools, very tough to get in. Only gifted students got in the schools, and then those schools ruined under Bill de Blasio, of course. What happened? They took a bunch of kids who didn't have a good home life, didn't qualify to get in the schools. Oftentimes, they chose them by the color of their skin, oftentimes black students, and they threw them in the schools. Soon the schools were things parents didn't even want their kids to be in, and they fled. We don't have hard conversations anymore. We run away from hard conversations about drugs, about parents. We run away from conversations that have anything to do with accountability at all, and we simply point fingers everywhere. Did you know we just had a serial killer busted in the United States of America? I bet you didn't know that. Did you know that? The guy actually has killed I don't know how many grandmas out there, and I think it was 25 that they know of so far. Now, the reason I say 25 that they know of so far is oftentimes when these guys get in and they start confessing things, they'll confess to more murders than they committed or fewer murders than they committed. But either way, there's some guy out there. He's killing old women, lots of them. They finally busted the guy. You never heard of it. You know why you didn't hear of it? Because he's black, and so the media covers it up so you don't ever hear about it at all. Because the media has decided part of being a good white person is you cover up crimes of black people constantly. How many times have I come on this show and I've complained about the various stop Asian hate, stop Jewish hate, stop the anti-Semitic crimes, and I've complained nobody wants to have a conversation about who's committing the crimes. Black people are assaulting Asian people in cities across the United States of America, and the only conversation anyone wants to have is a stop Asian hate campaign. Jews being assaulted, definitely across New York. All we hear is anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitic. And we got to stop anti-Semitism. They act like it's the rise of the Holocaust again. No, black people were assaulting Jews. Here's from father.com. 57.6% of black children with no dad 31% Hispanic, 20% of white children, no dad. 72% of the population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. If you look at drug use, where you end up in prison, anxiety, depression, over and over and over again, it's fathers, 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 fathers. During that year, we had the discussion on race in America. How many people said we have a dad problem? Dad, get home and stay there. Nobody. We wanted to blame the cops. Because we're an anti-truth country, we decided we wanted to blame the cops. How'd that work out? Maybe next time, instead of having the comfortable conversations, maybe next time we should have the uncomfortable conversations. No? I'm not quite done on this, and we're going to have... Look, this is going to be a central theme tonight. I'm not quite done on this, and then we have some climate change stuff. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well... a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And remember, you can email me your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. All those are welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We live in an anti-truth society. How do we solve this? How do we solve that? Well, maybe the real question is, do you actually want to solve that? Do you want to solve it? Jesse, I'm too fat. And look, hey, I'm not pointing any fingers. I've been out of shape plenty of times in my life. Jesse, I'm too fat. What do I do? Oh, okay. Well, eat less and go lift weights. Well, I mean, besides that, I mean, shouldn't we talk about the fast food companies? What are you talking about the fast food companies for? I'm talking about you. You should eat less and you should lift weights. Have you heard that sometimes people get too depressed to lift weights? Do we actually want solutions? I mean, we talk about these numbers. I've been bringing up the whole show. 8% of Asian students chronically absent. 63% of black students chronically absent. Here's some numbers. This is courtesy of the National Fatherhood Initiative. Kids without a father in the home, 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse alcohol and drugs, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, 2 times more likely to drop out of school. Why are Asians doing so well in school in this country and black people are suffering in this country? It has nothing, and I do mean nothing, to do with the color of their skin. It has everything to do with what goes on in the home. But we wanted to have a national, what did they call it? Conversation about race, right? I don't remember a conversation. I remember being told, sit down and shut up, Whitey, and you're evil, Whitey, and America's evil, and it's just like slavery, and this is like civil rights, and these racist cops. And I remember that over and over and over and over again. And what happened? Well, we attacked the cops. We defunded them. They quit. They retired. We don't do any real police work now in the cities, or at least the cops are being denied the ability to do police work now in the cities. And now crime is higher than ever. Black people have it worse than they ever have. Why do they have it worse than they ever have? Because the fat person came down and sat down to talk to you about why they're fat, and you blame the fast food companies. That's why. We don't ever want to have conversations. We look, this goes beyond this. This goes national. This is really goes for every single subject there is. We don't want to have a hard conversation about why problems don't get solved. Here's Rear Admiral Buttigieg about our gas price problem.
The more pain we are all experiencing from the high price of gas, the more benefit there is for those who can access electric vehicles.
We're mad about gas prices. Now, again, I'm preaching to the choir here. I know you know these things. Your neighbor, he's mad about gas prices. Why don't they do anything about gas prices? I can't afford to go see my mom. Oh, my goodness, I can't afford our medication. I can't afford this. He's mad about gas and mad about gas and mad about gas. Does your neighbor even understand they're not trying to solve the problem of gas prices because they don't think there is a problem with gas prices? They think you and your desire for gas, that's the problem. White House advisor Amos Hochstein flat out said, well, I mean, we only need enough gas to get us through the transition.
So it's about making a choice between what is the short term and the medium term so that we can make sure we have enough oil and gas to support us through the transition. And what are the kind of steps that we don't want the oil and gas industry to take that would have long term consequences when we don't want new major projects that would take 20, 30 years to become profitable. So we have to make that differentiation to make sure that the American consumer has what it needs to grow, grow our economy and the global economy, but not take steps and endanger the climate work that we're trying to do to make sure that we're on a better footing to accelerate the transition.
It's not that they don't know how to solve the problem of gas prices. It's that they don't think gas prices are a problem. They think you were the problem. That's why I try to get this through to people over and over and over again about how truly evil and insidious the communist menace is in this country. They're not trying to solve any of the problems you know are there, the problems you point out. And we sound so naive. Well, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? Why would they do any of that to them? Remember, you are the problem. You know the three things they all have in common. I've said it 1,000 times. One, no love of country. All else aside, you love the country, right? Even if we don't agree on every single thing politically, you love the United States of America. They don't. And that alone, that one step alone is so hard for normal people to wrap their mind around. They don't ever have a moment. There's never even a moment where they think, yeah, but that's bad for America. They don't think in those terms. They haven't been raised that way. They haven't been raised with any appreciation for this place at all. Two, they don't have any connection to you. They don't have any idea how you live. They don't know, and I know this is going to sound insane to you, but please hear me out. You know budgeting. You have a budget either on paper in that or in your head. We do. We always have. It's a little Excel spreadsheet. They're free online. Just download a budget. We've always had a budget. This is our budget for gas and this and that. We just try to make sure we stay ahead of our finances this way. You understand these people don't have budgets, right? It's not just a wealth thing either. It's just they're always taken care of by the next thing. You can sit and point out to them till they're blue in the face, as the great representative Thomas Massie does here about green energy. That won't make an impact for them. They don't know.
The average household uses 17% of their electricity for air conditioning. And that would mean the average household uses 1,870 kilowatt hours per year for air conditioning. if that average household plugged in electric cars, do you know how much more electricity they would use in comparison to the air conditioning that air conditions their whole house?
No, but again, I would emphasize it will be less energy overall.
Let me help you with that first before we go on, because the numbers are important. It would take four times as much electricity to charge the average household's cars as the average household uses on air conditioning. Do you think that could be? So if we reach the goal by 2030 that Biden has of 50% adoption instead of 100% adoption, that means the average household would use twice as much electricity charging one of their cars as they would use for all of the air conditioning that they use for the entire year.
One, those are eye-popping stats. Don't worry, I'm going to play it again. Two, it is hard to accept, though, that they know those numbers. Their goal is the collapse of our society. That's what the end goal is. That's what they've always wanted. You're not dealing with Democrats. Get that old way of thinking out of your head. You're dealing with people who, when presented with black and white statistics, with facts like Massey just presented to Buttigieg there, it doesn't shake them at all. Why do you think that is? They know the facts. They don't care. All right. We have some eye-opening stuff from the media, and I'm going to get to some emails. We still have Kurt Schlichter to come. Look, just, I know a lot of this stuff seems hopeless and wild, right? Just make sure, remember, now is the time to take care of yourself and yours. Make sure your kids are taken care of. Make sure your wife, your husband's taken care of, your mom, your dad. Make sure you're taking care of your physical health. Make sure you're practicing with your weapon. Practice, 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 practice. Those Marines you love, they didn't come out of the womb shooting like that. They practice. The Green Berets you admire, as you should, they don't just miraculously come out that way. They practice over and over and over and over again. You know what they practice with? You know what Green Berets practice with? Mantis X. They practice with Mantis X. It attaches to your weapon. You practice in the comfort of your home without firing a shot. Right there in your living room, in your kitchen, in your dining room, you practice and you get better. They'll put you through drills. It's easy to use. Don't be intimidated. You want to get better? Go get a Mantis X today. Go to MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and look, we just, it's a hard pill to swallow. We don't want to accept in this anti-truth society we live in, they're not even trying to solve what we consider to be problems. Remember, when they say things, all these crazy things, remember New York City just passed this thing, all the new buildings have to be electric. You understand the electrical grid can't come close to providing that much electricity, right? It can't come close. So let's just follow this down. Who's this going to affect most? Well, remember, rich people are never going to sign on to live in a place where the heat goes out in the winter and the AC goes out in the summer. They're simply not. They'll go pay top dollar to be in one of the other places. So they'll just simply move penthouses. So where's the suffering go? Poor people. Poor people are going to be in these skyscrapers where it's freezing in the wintertime and miserably hot in the summertime. And then citywide, there'll be brownouts and blackouts. And the crazy thing is all the people pushing these policies know they don't care because destruction is the point.
We all have to be able to reduce the emissions. We have to accelerate the transition. We're behind.
We're for cutting the cost of electric vehicles, because when you have an electric vehicle, then you're also going to be able to save on gas, but you got to be able to afford it in the first place.
Right.
Now, we're actually starting to see on some models the costs come to where even if the your car payment's a little higher, your gas payment will be a little lower and you come out ahead. But the prices still need to come down mm-hmm. for most Americans to be able to get in an EV.
They're not even trying to solve the problem. Not even trying. All right, let's get to some emails. Jesse, thank you for reading Ross McGinnis' Medal of Honor citation yesterday. Last night, listening to last night's podcast at work, eyes full of tears. In case you missed last night's podcast, or the podcast of last night's show, it's on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Last night's medal, the guy who won the Medal of Honor, Ross McGinnis, it was a good one. It was just, it was a good story of bravery. Highly recommend you go back. It's an hour into the show, worth listening to. Anyway, every week I enjoy hearing Medal of Honor Monday and try to play them back for my 12-year-old son so he knows what the real American heroes are. This particular one he definitely will not miss. Short backstory, when I was pregnant with my son, I wanted to pick a name that was strong with meaning that he could be proud of. I remember the story of Ross when he was awarded the Medal of Honor posthumously. I insisted my son's middle name be Ross in honor of Specialist McGinnis. When he got older, we took him to the Medal of Honor Museum aboard the USS Yorktown in Charleston Harbor and let him learn about this outstanding young man. I look forward to playing back this episode of the podcast for him tonight. He says he loves your show as much as I do, by the way. Keep up the work and buenas tardes, and thank you, and says I can say her name. Her name is Kelly. Kelly.
Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes to you and that young man. And look, that's why we read them. Go read them yourself. Go, just, they're all available online. Go get those Medal of Honor citations and read them to your children so your children have someone to look up to, someone to hold up and say, man, that's what I want to be. Did you see that story about the pizza delivery man who, there's a house on fire. It was just real recent. House is on fire, and he pulls over, was going to call the cops, but didn't have his phone on him. So instead, he runs in and pulls five people out of a blazing inferno. The last one, he jumps out of the second story with his kid. Man, that's the story you read to your kids because they have so much filth out there now. Everywhere they turn, there's filth. And it's not just that there's filth. Society's telling them, oh, that's who you should be. Oh, that's that filthy person? That's who you should be. Oh, you need to look up to this craziness.
So we really want to base our treatment and to affirm and to support and empower these youth, not to limit their participation in activities and sports, and even limit their ability to get gender affirmation treatment in their state.
That's the HHS secretary. Everywhere you look, your child is being told that he should become a woman, that she should become a man, that this YouTube star is it. Man, you need to look to these guys. You need to look to the Medal of Honor citations as a great place to start with what we should be. With what we should be. Let's get to some more emails. Hi, Jesse. I wanted to give you an update on my son's Eden Pure that he uses in his taxidermy bug room. In that room, he also has a bug zapper to kill the flies that are attached to the door. While the smell is relatively gone, the interesting part is now the flies aren't even attracted to come into the room. Bottom line, they work, and I can't endorse them anymore. Thanks for advertising such good products. Man, I'm telling you, it is miraculous. When you plug an Eden Pure Thunderstorm into a room in your house or the office, you come back in an hour and the smells are gone. Not covered up. It's not, oh, that's potpourri. The smells are gone. Chris just took one of the ones we have here in the studio for the house. He's got a sewage leak in his house. Don't worry, it's getting fixed. He's only worried about the money. We all know Chris. But he took an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. He has raw sewage in his house. Smell? Gone. They have a 3-pack for sale for my listeners. 3 of them for $200 off. 3 of them for $200 off. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse3. That's Jesse and the number 3. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse3. The daggone things are like miracles. Brother Jesse, I agree with you. Oh, he's talking about the beach and how I've been ranting against the beach. I've lived at the beach my entire life of 57 years. He said the most beautiful beach on the East Coast, Sunset Beach, North Carolina. Gosh, North Carolina is so underrated. Anyway, I go to the beach to surf. If no waves, I ain't there. And yes, the sand sucks as well as the people. Now, as far as the eye candy, oh, that's terrible. If you're visiting and are staying at a beach house and are married, that's what the balcony and a good set of binoculars are for. That's awful. It is a chick thing. My wife loves it and always has. Can lay there for hours cooking like a sausage in a frying pan. I gave up trying to figure it out a long time ago. Semper Fi, brother. He says I can say his name. His name is Keithan. It is something. There is a difference between women and men on this. We have a community pool. We'll go to the community pool, especially now in the summer because it's blazing hot down here. And I will do what? It's a Saturday and we're going to the pool. What am I going to do? I'm going to take a little cooler, a couple beers, maybe a sandwich if I think we're going to be there a little while, a little speakerphone so we can listen to some music maybe when we go down there. And we're going to go set up a spot and sit down at the pool. And after an hour, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, when I've shown off my incredible diving board skills to the kids, and once I've shown them who really runs the house by dunking them repeatedly in the pool and getting in trouble by the lifeguards of throwing them in, and once I've laid out for, you know, half hour or so, flipped sides, and got plenty of sun, I'm always right about that point saying, okay, so should we head on home? And the wife is always mortified by this. She always says, well, I thought we were spending the day at the pool. Why would I spend an entire day at the pool? This is what people do at the beaches, and I'll never understand it. All right. I'm going to get to a bunch more emails. We have Dr. Fauci is a liar. But again, back to what we were talking about, an anti-truth country. An anti-truth country. There's an article out, MSNBC's Katie Turr. She doesn't understand the distrust. She thinks she does, but she doesn't understand the distrust we have in the media. And this is going to play a large part in what I've been talking about tonight. I will get to that in just a moment. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.